Good morning and welcome to our worship service today. With tomorrow being the first day of our school year, we traditionally have made this Christian Education Sunday, so you'll see that theme running through our church service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, our Maker, our Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you would open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that through the preaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is, Let Children Hear the Mighty Deeds. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature, and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, mercifully bless the Christian education of your children in our congregation, that they may grow up to know and love you and praise your holy name. Bless our Christian day school and all other settings in which our children are brought closer to you. Restrain the activities of the evil one who would seek to undermine these efforts to provide for the spiritual growth of your children. Help us all to regard these children and our educational ministries as gifts from you. Encourage the members of our congregations to support those who teach and those who learn. Give joy to all who serve as teachers, staff, and volunteers in our school, and give them the privilege of seeing the fruits of their labors. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for today is from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 9. We read verses 1 through 6 and also verse 10. When we think of education, we often think of words like wisdom. One definition for wisdom I heard is knowledge applied. Knowing something is one thing, but applying it and putting it into practice in life is another, and that's more important. What is true wisdom? Well, wisdom in the biblical sense, as we learn from this section of Proverbs, begins with the fear of the Lord. And that word in the biblical sense, of course, does not mean to be afraid of God, but to stand in awe of Him, to respect and revere Him, to see what He's done for us, especially the forgiveness of sins, and stand in awe of Him. The knowledge of the Holy One, that verse goes on to say, is understanding. Knowing God is true wisdom. In this section of Proverbs, then, wisdom is personified. And we read these verses and conclude with that verse, verse 10. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved out her seven pillars. She has prepared her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has already set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest point in the city. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To someone who lacks sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine that I have mixed. Abandon your naive ways and live. Travel the road to understanding. And verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Our second reading for today is from Matthew chapter 7. We read verses 24 through 29. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Jesus speaks of the foundations of wisdom and learning, and the foundation, of course, is Him. If we build on Jesus, we are wise. We are like building on a rock. Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on bedrock. The rain came down, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. But it did not fall, because it was founded on bedrock. Everyone who hears these words of mine but does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and it was completely destroyed. When Jesus finished speaking these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority and not like their experts in the law. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 6. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, O Blessed the House. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is God's wisdom for us dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Ephesians chapter 5. We read verses 15 through 20. Consider carefully then how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise people. Make the most of your time because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk on wine, which causes you to lose control. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. By speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your hearts to the Lord, by always giving thanks for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Do you like taking walks? I do. I don't think that makes me old yet, but I do like taking walks, and I think that that's also a family trait. Most every Saturday evening, I take a walk around the neighborhood to clear my mind, get some blood flowing, think about what I'm about to do for Sunday morning before I come back to print off the bulletins and do my last read-throughs of the sermon. I say it's a family trait because I had conversations with my grandfather, who was a pastor and a professor, and he told me similar things that he would do on Saturdays. He said he thought that walking helped him to memorize his sermons better. So I guess I'm literally following in his footsteps. And if you've ever had the privilege of walking with my parents, you know what avid and fast walkers they are. I honestly think they could probably medal in race walking if they were to try out for the Olympics. They would certainly win their age group, that is for sure. Well, Paul talks about walking in our text for today. Maybe you caught that in the very first verse that we read, where he said, "Consider carefully then how you walk." That's how he begins our verses. Is he encouraging us to be safe when we're out for our evening stroll or taking a hike in the woods? Is he telling us essentially, well, make sure you're looking both ways before you cross the street, keep your eyes forward, look where you're going, don't be looking at your phone while you're walking around, you might run into somebody else, you might run into something else. Watch out for tripping hazards that are on the ground while you're walking around. Is that what he's talking about when he encourages us to carefully consider then how you walk? The answer, you might have guessed, is no. He's using the term walk here in the sense of how you go about living your life. We do use this word in English in a similar sense when we say things like your walk of life. That's what Paul is talking about in our text. He's encouraging us not only to be careful how we walk, how we live, but he also tells us to walk wisely, to live as wise people. In our text, Paul lists three very simple yet profound things we should be doing if we're going to walk wisely. The first thing he points to is our use of time. He says, make the most of your time. Time is such a precious gift. It is, in fact, one of the greatest gifts that God gives to us. You and I, and every other person who is born into this world, has a limited amount of time in our life. And no matter who you are or how many years you have on this earth, it does go by very fast. All of us get the same amount of hours to use each day, the same number of moments to use each day and make the most of. All of us get to use time in a way that either is wasteful or wise. The Bible, of course, encourages us to be wise with our time. You can go back to even the Old Testament and you'll find verses that encourage this. King David in Psalm 39 says, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life." And David was, of course, a man who ruled for 40 years and knew how to pack a lot into the years of life that God had given him. Moses is the author or the writer of Psalm 90, verse 12. By inspiration, he wrote these words: "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Make the most of your time. What is the best way to make use of God's great gift of time in our life? Look again at that same verse in verse 16 of our text. Paul finishes that verse by saying this: "Make the most of your time because the days are evil." Seems like a strange thing to follow up the first part with, but what Paul is pointing to is the fact that we are in increasingly evil and dark days. It is even more important then to let our light shine. Make the most of your time by letting your light shine. That includes things like serving God and serving others. But it most importantly includes sharing that light with others. Sharing the good news about our Savior Jesus, especially with those who may not know him. Paul once wrote in his letter to the Colossians, "Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." God will give you, and he has given you, many types of these opportunities that Paul mentions in that verse from Colossians. Opportunities to let your faith and your love for Christ shine in both your words and your actions. Watch out for those opportunities. Make the most of every one that that God puts in our way. Does our walk reflect Christ's light and his love? Are we truly walking wisely? Are we truly making the most of our time and opportunities to witness to others around us? Well, if we're saying, well, probably not, Pastor, then let's think about using another very important gift that we have, another good use of our time, and that is prayer. We can always turn to God for help. If we are truly seeking to walk wisely and make the most of our time, we should ask God for help. The Apostle James reminds us to pray to God for wisdom. He says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." The other sets of instructions in our text that Paul gives us as to how we can truly walk wisely also do relate to making the best use of our time that God gives us. And Paul in our text reminds us we're not only to be concerned with the souls of others by witnessing the good news to them, but he also reminds us to work on our own spiritual growth, to further our own spiritual growth in Jesus. Look at his words in verse 17 of our text. He says, "Understand what the will of the Lord is." Not just know it, but understand it. Well, how do we find out what the will of the Lord is? You, of course, listen to what he says. Read for yourself what he says to you and to me, what we are to do, what we are not to do, and what he's done for us. If you don't read his words, if we never listen to what God says to us, we won't know what his will is. That is a great use of the time that God has given us, reading his word for ourselves, which will help us understand what his will is and will help us then to truly walk wisely. It's not just filled with instructions, the do's and don'ts, but remember that word of God is also filled with many comforting and powerful promises that God's given to each one of us to help us in this life and to help us focus our hearts and our minds on the eternal life in heaven that he has prepared for you and for me. Finally, Paul reminds us in our text that if we are to truly walk wisely, we need to be filled with the Spirit. as he says in verse 18. We are, of course, filled with the Spirit when we do what we just mentioned, when we read God's Word. That's how God fills us with His Spirit. It's how He came into your heart in the first place to create faith in you. He used that very same Word of God. And it's this very same Word that He uses to strengthen and grow that faith. But our text also reminds us that once we are filled with the Spirit, He reminds us to do some of the very things that we are doing today and in every time we gather for worship. He says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your hearts to the Lord, by always giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, to be continually encouraged and to be continually encouraging, to be filled with the Spirit, we need to continue to gather together around that Word of God, worshiping Him, singing praises, sharing our faith, sharing God's love with each other, and sharing that instruction from God that He gives us in His Word. There's a great passage that encourages us to do much the same thing in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And day there is capitalized in that verse. It's referring to Judgment Day. As we see Judgment Day approaching, we should be all the more gathering together and encouraging each other, strengthening each other in our faith and our walk in Christ. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's take a walk together. Let's make the most of our time by walking carefully and walking wisely, not wasting that precious gift of time that God has given us, those precious moments that the Lord has given us, wasting them by walking unwisely or living foolishly. Paul mentions drunkenness, a lack of self-control. He warns against those things because not only does that kind of foolish living damage and possibly even destroy our minds, our bodies, or even our souls, think of what it does to our Christian witness to others. Think of how it ruins opportunities that God gives us to share that life-giving message with Christ. Jesus has given us purpose and meaning to the moments He has given us. He has filled us with His Spirit. He's given us reasons for singing and making music with our hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for everything to God the Father in His name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by His cross, He has washed away all those times we have wasted the time that He's given to us. By His resurrection, He has given us the strength to live a new life, to make us ready for those times and opportunities He will give us in this life. And most of all, His death and resurrection have assured us that we will live with Him forever in heaven, where there is limitless time to praise and thank Him. So don't forget to get your walk in today. Walk with Jesus and walk daily in His Word, and we will truly walk wisely. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we encourage you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway. We'll continue with our next hymn, I Know My Faith Is Founded. Please rise. We bring prayers to our Father's throne today, again for Terry's friend Rose, who is still hospitalized. She is currently experiencing an infection and is undergoing cancer treatments. We also pray for her husband Jim, his continued strength. You may have noticed in the back of the bulletin that one of our pastors in Colorado, a man named Tim Wheaton, has recently been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and the prognosis does not look good. We bring our prayers to our Father's throne for him and his family today as well. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, our good shepherd and heavenly physician, we lift up in prayer to you, your children, in particular Rose and Tim Wheaton, that you'd give them healing and strength as they undergo their cancer treatments. Give them healing in their bodies, dear Lord, as you see fit, but most importantly, strengthen them in your promises and assure them of your presence and your guidance, that you are working all things out for their good, and in the end, you have heaven waiting for them. We ask you to strengthen and keep Rose's husband, Jim, and keep Tim's family in your loving care as they go through this difficult time. Help them to know that you are right there with them and that you truly have their best interests in mind as well, and that you have heaven waiting for their loved one and for them and all who believe in you and know you as the resurrection and the life. We entrust them body and soul into your loving care, dear Jesus, knowing that you are good and you are loving and will truly do what is best for them. O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is a privilege to learn about you and to learn how great your mercies are for us each day. How bountiful is your salvation, which you give to us freely in the gospel. How near you are to us at all times, but especially in our hour of need. Dear Lord, these are among the truths that our hearts need to know and which we ought to have impressed on us from our youth. We ask you to give the young people in our church Christian homes where you are daily brought to mind, where families feed upon the rich spiritual nourishment from your word. Instill in fathers and mothers everywhere a loving appreciation for their children, that they recognize them as being among the most cherished gifts given by a wise and gracious God. Make them always thankful for the privilege of being parents, and make them mindful of their holy obligation to bring up your children in the instruction and training of you, their Savior. Fill our parents with zeal to leave their children the heritage of faith, of knowledge of your word, and of prayer. We ask you also to bless those children, help them to grow in their knowledge of you, and protect them in every way. We humbly thank you, Lord, that we are able to provide a thorough instruction in your word for the children of our congregation and school. We thank you for giving us devout Christian teachers and staff who give of their time and efforts in the blessed work of teaching your little lambs. Through the Holy Spirit, increase their faith, enlarge their knowledge of your word, and strengthen their zeal to teach these little lambs. Through that same Holy Spirit, maintain a good attitude in the children, that they may desire to learn your word, and that they may grow in their faith and love for you as well. Preserve all of us, no matter our age, from the attitude that our learning days are over, or that we're too busy to study, or that we've graduated from our Christian instruction. May we all become eager students of your word, whether it's in our homes or in a class or here at church. Give us each a humble mind to recognize our need to learn and a faithful heart to love your instruction. By your word, which we receive either at home or church or in school, cause us to grow spiritually and arrive at Christian maturity. Graciously forgive us for the times we have neglected your word. We ask these things in your name, dear Jesus, as we pray now in your name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Thank you. Please be seated. We close our service with the hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, the Children's Friend. I invite you to stand for the last verse. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray you've been blessed through the message that you've heard again today. A few announcements from the bulletin. Following our worship service, we'll be meeting in the front of church briefly for a choir practice, to practice some of our one of our farewell songs. We have Scott and Diane leaving soon in September, so September 1st actually, so we'll be singing a choir song on their farewell Sunday. Also after the service, there is some help needed for moving items and desks back into the main classroom in the back of the school. The flooring was mopped, cleaned, and resurfaced, so we need to move the chairs and desks and items back in there. So anyone who's able to help with that after church, please meet in the back classroom and speak with Michaela if you have any questions. I'll be heading up to our service in Hayward at 1 p.m. today, and that congregation is meeting for their congregational meeting and voters meeting at 2 p.m., and they will be discussing some of the details and plans for the potential dissolution of their congregation, and then, Lord willing, their membership will be joining our congregation in the near future. This is in preparation for our next congregational meeting and call meeting, which is scheduled for September 1st. That will take place after the service that Sunday. There will also be a luncheon provided in honor of Scott and Diane's leaving. That's their farewell Sunday as well, so a big packed Sunday on September 1st. Please join us for that, that meeting and the call meeting that will follow, Lord willing. For this week, tomorrow is, of course, the first day of school here at SSLS, and you are all invited to join us for our opening service tomorrow morning at 8:15. We will be meeting here in the sanctuary if you'd like to join us for that. And we wish the Lord's blessings on our teachers and our students as we begin a new school year in His name. Tuesday, our church council and our elders will meet via Zoom at 7 p.m. Next Sunday, I will be in Southern California officiating a wedding for Sarah and Josh. Sarah is a young girl who that's the first baby I baptized, and now she's getting married. So it's a very distinct and blessed privilege to be able to do the wedding for the child that you baptized. And interesting how the Lord moved her life to kind of follow me around to California and to be able to do the wedding service for her and her fiance. So I'll be down there next Sunday. We will have our worship service here at 10 a.m., and Mark Gullerud will be taking the sermon, and Isaac Schmidt will be doing the liturgy here. Timothy Blank will be taking the service in Hayward next Sunday. We mentioned the prayers for Pastor Timothy Wheaton from Colorado. Please keep him in your prayers and his family as well. Also a note that kinship sponsorships are needed. Oftentimes the kinship sponsorships we have for orphans and seminary students overseas are actually full. We sometimes even have a waiting list. But since we've had so many go through and become seminary students and become pastors, there is a great need right now for, I believe it's 18 sponsorships. If you would like to sponsor a seminary student, there's information in the bulletin to contact the kinship liaison, Dan Rail, and you could speak with him about the possibility of taking on a sponsorship. If you have any questions, you can speak with me as well, and I can point you in the right direction for information, since I'm the secretary of that committee. Any other announcements for today? Yes, Diane. Yeah.
In the fellowship hall, we cleaned out our cupboards yesterday. So there are cleaning supplies that are half used that I can't ship. And there's some cupboard staples there as well. So please help yourself. The cleaning supplies, if it doesn't go today, will go to the hazardous waste guys. The food products I can leave here for a little while longer.
So please check those out in the fellowship hall. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.